Israel's response, and there should be a response, should not be proportionate. It should be far stronger, because when deterrence fails, to reestablish it, you have to teach the adversary that any gain they may hope to get by any future attack will be more than outweighed by the damage that will be caused.
Well, you recognize that voice, perhaps, as John Bolton, who's one of the hawkiest of the hawks out there, former Trump administration dude, although he hates Trump. He says Israel has to hit back hard at Iran. And the administration has made it very clear they're the exact opposite. You take the win, and if you try to hit back, we ain't going to help you.
For those who are busy watching the Masters or other fair over the weekend, Iran launched hundreds of drones and missiles at Israel. The vast, vast majority of them intercepted and did very little damage. But what comes next? Dr. Jeff McCausland, CBS News military consultant, joins us now to discuss. Jeff, it's always a pleasure. How are you?
I'm doing very well and great to be with you guys.
Well, let's just start with which of those two approaches do you like, the Bolton approach or the Biden approach?
Well, I'm kind of leaning towards the Biden approach, quite frankly, at this particular moment. I mean, one has to talk about using military force to what end? And Mr. Bolton, who I've known for a long time and had encounters with him, has been a very ardent, very conservative, very hawkish kind of guy, as you described. And he's right, you could argue, that by doing a massive response, it serves to enhance deterrence for future and perhaps prevent future war. You can make that particular argument. But in this case, I would argue Israel's got a lot of war right now to take care of, and so expanding this and going into another major conflict with Iran might not be the most appropriate thing to happen at the moment. You know, you do deterrence, as he talked about, through punishment. That's what he's describing. You also do deterrence through denial, and that's exactly what the Israelis did, in which they really, in some ways, I would say, made the Iranians look strategically kind of foolish when you fire 300 drones, cruise missiles, and ballistic missiles, and only a handful actually hit target, 99% are destroyed. And in reality, okay, we fired 7 missiles at a target in Damascus. They all hit target. They killed an Iranian Revolutionary Guard general officer, his deputy, and several others. And your effort of 300 weapons managed so far to kill one Palestinian girl. Might we want to focus our attention on the war in Gaza? Might we want to use this as an effort to diplomatically isolate Iran even further and perhaps recoup some of the loss we've had in the world community? Might we actually want to use this as a leverage to encourage the United States to move forward as quickly as possible in providing us additional military aid? I think that might be a better tack for the moment for the Israeli government.
Jeff, I think if you assume that Iran has made its move, and this was the move, then I can see that point of view a little more clearly, but I've heard it suggested by some that this was something of a test of Israeli air defenses. It's a dry run, a dress rehearsal, if you will, and that a multi-front attack could be coming, and that's why you might want to exact a price from the Iranians and let them know, if we go tit for tat, we're going to make every single level of this too expensive for you.
Yeah, no, and you can certainly make that argument, but concern I would have with all the conflicts, if all these other conflicts weren't ongoing, then that argument might become much more persuasive. When your military forces are heavily engaged with about 5 fronts right now. You have a front in Gaza. You're facing a major offensive military operation in Rafah. You're facing a very high likelihood of having to make a military incursion to southern Lebanon to drive Hezbollah farther north and allow 80,000 Israeli refugees to return to their homes. You've got increasing violence on the West Bank. You've got groups that you need to keep an eye on in Syria and elsewhere. You've got the Houthis down in Yemen. So should we take on another conflict at this particular moment is the question. We can respond, certainly, at a time and place of our choosing. That's a phrase the Israelis use a lot. Could that response be a massive cyber attack against Iran? Israelis are capable of doing that. Could that this be, over time, a whole series of special operations missions by Israel against targets in Iran? Very possible they've done that in the past, killed off Iranian nuclear scientists and others. Might those be other ways of going about some kind of a response over time?
Was this a real attempt by Iran to blow stuff up and kill people in Israel, or was it a telegraphed gesture for all kinds of different political reasons that they knew would be thwarted? Do you know? Some U.S. officials said yesterday that Iran was attempting a mass casualty event.
Well, when you fire 300 weapons at somebody, it seems to me to attempt to do an awful lot of damage. You know, the idea we'd fire 300 weapons because we want to be defeated, and we want our military to kind of look pretty badly in its employment, does not seem to pass to me the logic test. But perhaps that is the case. So the Iranians have certainly tried to argue that this should be the end of this particular event. They have, I guess, assuaged their honor for the killing of this Iranian general, and they've made a response. A lot of this, don't forget, is not for public opinion at home, for the Iranian people to say, what is our government doing when we get hit? Well, we actually have done something, and they'll try to describe it, I'm sure, in the public press in Iran as a major success. But I do think it's a little bit of a stretch to say we're going to fire 300 weapons, hoping we don't hurt anybody, and by trying to do it in certain ways that it precludes major damage to my opponent.
Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst on the line. Jeff, I'm really intrigued, and I think one of the most significant aspects of this whole thing may be the fact that the Israelis received significant help, intelligence and hands-on guns from not only the U.S., but a number of Arab countries as well. Feels like maybe the dawn of a new relationship there.
Yeah, these people don't like Iran. I was just at a major series of meetings in Paris with some senior folks coming from the Gulf, and their biggest concern, their biggest threat is Iran. So there's no great love lost there for sure. But at the same time, and this is also a danger, now they're protecting their airspace. The Jordanians have spoken very loudly since this attack occurred that they did intercept a number of these weapons as they were heading towards Israel because they were violating Jordanian airspace, quite frankly. Saudis may have provided some information and tracking as well, and less clear about that. But this, then, is a problem for Israel. If Israel is going to strike back, it's going to violate their airspace as well. And I'm not sure we would see them then just sort of ignoring that, which would indicate they were actively involved in an Israeli counterattack against Iran, which might pull them into that particular conflict. In fact, the Jordanians have suggested we defend our airspace. If it's Iranian missiles heading westward, we're going to shoot those down. But, oh, by the way, if it's Israeli missiles going eastward, we're going to do the same thing. And for the Israelis, a major response could be done to some degree using missiles. They have some, but the Israeli military force would be, I think, more likely to try to employ aircraft, F-35s, in some type of series of airstrike. That's a very complex operation based on the distances involved, the country's airspace that you have to fly through, your ability to do aerial refueling, which Israel has at best a very limited ability to do so, absent direct U.S. involvement. And the Biden administration has said, hey, we're going to defend you. We'll help defend you, but we're not going to participate directly. The United States is not going to provide military forces to be part and parcel of an Israeli counterattack.
Jeff McCausland, CBS News military consultant. Jeff, thanks so much for the time. Good stuff.
Take care, guys.
Armstrong and Getty.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a one-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.